Yesterday we introduced the evil that is Amalek. And we explained how Amalek is really the greatest battle ever. They're trying to cause us to have a nervous breakdown. They're trying to cause us to lose a sense of lecha, of who we are, on the most basic and essential level. And the Zohar calls it the greatest battle that ever was. And one of the reasons that Amalek is such a dangerous threat to the Jewish people, as Rav Nassan said, in Hilchos Tefillin, Ein Gibor Kemisyaish. There's no warrior like a person who is desperate. So when Amalek realizes that they cannot survive and they will not survive, and that their whole destiny is to be destroyed, when the Yetzer Hara, when Amalek, when they sense that when Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shecht the Malach HaMaves and shecht the Yetzer Hara, so they're panicked and they start to fight in a very crazy way, to do whatever they can to survive, breaking the normal rules of war, so to speak. And we ended yesterday with the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Tes, where the Mishnah says that when Moshe raised his hands by Melchemes Amalek, we won the war, and when Moshe lowered his hands, we lost the war. So I shared with you that awesome line from the Mishnah Brura in Siman Kuf Chav Hei, that when we say Kedusha, and I hope you did it yesterday, and I hope you did it today, when you say Kedusha and you look up towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as it says there from the Sefer HaYechalos, you lock eyes with God. Hashem looks into your eyes and you look into Hashem's eyes. Right? There's something that's shared in that silent conversation of that love between us and Hashem, where we look in each other's eyes, that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatest pleasure in the world. And Amalek wants us not to be able to look up. Amalek wants us not to have a munah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking down upon us. Amalek wants us to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lost in the world. Okay, so chaver, we're four lines from the bottom of Kuf Nun Aleph, Hachnas Amalek al Yidei Kedushas Habris. Subduing Amalek through Kedushas Habris. Yes?
Is it only by Kedusha, or is it like anytime?
It's a good question.
Because it seems like from the quote that it's anytime, but it's specifically quoted by Kadosh.
Yeah. So it could be there's something unique about Kedusha when we lock eyes with Hashem. But yeah, that a Jew should have his eyes raised heavenward sounds like a generally good piece of advice. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I heard that you should look down to the floor, like, for love reasons.
When? In general?
Yeah, not necessarily Kedusha, but...
Okay, so they're both true. They're both true. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't walk with an outstretched neck, right? So to be able to, I guess, to be, you know, to be looking down at the same time looking up, so you could do both. You can do both. Okay, so let's see. Hachnas Amalek al Yedei Kedushas Habris. Subduing Amalek through Kedushas Habris. Now, how do we know that Amalek is against Bris Milah? So if you look at the end of Parshas Kiseitze, it says that when Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael, remember what Amalek did to you. Again, we have two places in the Torah primarily where we speak about Amalek. One is B'Shalach, this Pesach Shabbos. By Avo Amalek, Amalek comes and attacks us. That's the Kriyas HaTorah for Purim. Purim Day, that's the Kriyas HaTorah. That was 9 Pesukim. And then at the end of Kitetze is Parsha Zachor. Right? Zachor Esa Shara Salacha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way out of Mitzrayim. So for those who are here on Sunday, we reminded ourselves that Mitzrayim is a place of Arayos, Erev HaSaaretz. That's how Yosef, by conquering Eshes Potiphar, right, became a tzaddik, because he was in control of his desires. So it's interesting. Dafka, says the Pasuk, as you're coming out of Mitzrayim, as you're moving towards Kedusha, moving away from Mitzrayim, moving away from Erev HaSaaretz, from Arayos, Amalek attacks you. And how do they attack you? Asher karcha baderech. Rashi says, karcha, several explanations. One of them is Lashon Keri v'tuma. It's a Lashon of Keri, like a Baal Keri. A person who experiences a seminal emission. Vituma, it's a lashon of tuma. In other words, as you're trying to get away from Mitzrayim, Amalek tries to drag you back down. Amalek tries to be metame, a person. And how do they do so? The pasuk says, Vayizanev b'cha kol hanechesh shalim acherecha. Amalek was vayizanev. They chop down those who are weak and trailing behind. Rashi says, makas zanov, Choytech milos v'zoyrek klape mala. Makas zanov, they would strike at the tail or maybe said differently, the protrusion of the body, which means choteich milos, they would chop off the milos, and they would be zoyre klape mal, and they would throw it towards Hashem. So I don't know if that means that they cut off the whole makom bris as a way of, you know, in a barbaric and savage way of mutilating the Jews and harming those weak Jews who are trailing behind. Again, dafka, breaking the rules of war, fighting against the weak ones, right? They're not fighting the soldiers on the battlefield. They're dafka fighting those who are struggling, taking advantage of the, so to speak, innocent civilians. But look what they're bezalzel brismila. They're choteich milos, and they would throw it klape mala. And if you look in the full medrash, in the medrash Tanchuma, it says, they said to Hashem, here you go, God. We know you're into this. You ask for, you know, eight-day-old babies to cut off part of their brismila, to remove the arla, to remove the foreskin. So here, God, we're going to chop off some more and throw it to you. It was total bizayon of kedushas habris, a total disregard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamish a chutz b'nayra, such an unbelievably chutzpah thing that they did. But again, you see that Amalek is mekusher to this world of what? Of tumas keri, of being mezalzel in the Indian of Bris Mila, poking fun, late sonis of Amalek, poking fun at Bris Mila. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter as follows. Hachnas Amalek al yedei kedusha sabris. We defeat Amalek through kedusha sabris. Al yedei ma haya hamilchama. And through what do we battle Amalek? Maybe Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman explains in Torah Nun Ches. On the Pasuk, Vayachal lo Yoshua Samalek. Interesting. What did the Pasuk say a moment ago? In Kitei say? That Amalek targeted, they struck down the Nechashalim, the weaklings. So Vayachal lo Yoshua Samalek. Yoshua weakened Amalek v'asamo lefi charev, by the sword. Again, it's ma'amish amida k'neged mida. Amalek is trying to chop off the bris milas. And Yoshua, at the same time, is weakening Amalek with the cherev, with the sword. Lefi cherev, with the sword. Who's Yoshua? Who does he come from? What shevet is Yoshua from? Ephraim, he comes from Ephraim. Yeshua comes from Ephraim. Yes, speak up, Chavra. Two reasons. Number one, be confident in your answers. Number two, I don't hear so well, so speak up. Yeah? Ephraim, meaning Yehoshua comes from the world of Yosef HaTzadik. So of course Yeshua is the one to fight against the Amalek. Right? Yeshua is from the world of the one who's HaTzadik, the one who has Kedusha Sabris. So Yeshua weakened the Amalek by the sword. Okay? Let's pay close attention here for a second. Charev, by the sword. Asher ha-cherev hu, cherev no kemes nekam bris. There's a pasuk in Vayikra Parachavav that talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeking vengeance. Pasuk in B'chu Kosai. V'haveisi aleichem. Now, it's describing, this is where, this is the tochacha. B'chu Kosai is the tochacha. These are not the most pleasant psukim. If despite these you will not be chastised toward me and you behave casually with me, then I too will behave towards you with casualness. And I will strike you, even I, seven ways for your sins. I will bring upon you a sword avenging the vengeance of the covenant. You will be gathered into your cities, then I will send the pestilence among you, and you will be delivered into the hand of your enemy. However, what does the pasuk say? If you act towards me with casualness, I'll treat you casually, and I'll bring the sword upon you, as an act of vengeance of the covenant. What's the pasuk? You have it on the page in front of you. Cherev no kemes nekam bris. But interesting, look at the pasuk. If you walk with me casually, how does the Torah say casually? If you walk with me, halachtem imi keri, v'halachti afani imachem bekeri. What does keri mean in this context? It's a lashon of mikra, of chance, happenstance, not being focused, not realizing the precision of Hashem's connection to you. If you say, what pasuk is it? It's parachavav pasuchav hay. So if you treat me casually, but again, carry. Carry is a lashon of bal carry. It's a lashon of tuma, right? The word mikra, which means chance, and the word carry, as in tuma, tumas carry, tumas bris, lack of kedusha sabris, are related. Again, Rashi over there, when Amalek attacks, at the end of Kitei Tzei, when it says, Remember what Amalek did to you? Ashar karcha baderach. I told you, one of Rashi's pshatim is tuma, keri, tuma. One of Rashi's other pshatim is mikra. They happened upon you. Think about the relationship between happening, things that just happen, things that are not so much within my control, right? Things that a person doesn't take necessarily responsibility for, right? And the relation to a bris, a covenant. What do you mean? I made a promise to someone. I can't excuse myself and say, well, you know, something came up. You promised me you'd be here on time. You promised me you would take care of this for me. You gave me your word. We made a bris. We made a covenant, right? Forget Kedusha's bris. I'm talking about bris milah. A covenant, a promise, a treaty. You and I made a deal. And then you were casual about it. You didn't honor it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you are casual with me and you don't honor the covenant, the treaty, the promise, then what am I going to do to you, Hashem says? I'm going to strike you down by the sword. Why is sword? Why is Hashem striking down with the sword? So let's read on the page in front of us. Again, Yoshua struck down Amalek with a sword. Interesting. Asher cherev hu cherev no kemes nekam bris. A sword that seeks vengeance in defending a covenant, in defending a bris. Levi sheyada Yoshua shamalek came tameim umitamim. Because Yoshua know that Amalek themselves were tamei, and that they were mitamim, they caused others, they tried to bring others down with them. That's also what's so evil about Amalek. You want to do Avera, it's fine, why do you have to drag me into it? Why do you feel more comfortable sinning against God if you can convince, you know, the other guy to do it with you? That's not a good thing. But that's Amalek. They don't want to only enjoy, they want to drag down others. They like to destroy things. V'hei machnisim tuma b'nishmos b'nei Yisrael. V'chol, top of page, kufnun beis. You have to turn the page or no? To get there. No, you don't. Okay, maybe you do, depending on your photocopies. I don't know. Page 4, or page kufnun beis. V'chol tumas b'nei Yisrael ba al yedei Amalek mishum kach yotzu lehilachem. Therefore, when they went out to fight, it says, "Take kach lecha anashim." The actual lashon of the pasuk, when they're selecting individuals to fight Amalek, what does the pasuk say? "Bechar lanu anashim." Look at the word "bechar." Right, same letters as cherev. Bechar, choice, choosing, bechira. Right, not mikra, not happenstance, not casualness. Making real choices in your life. What's the name of the place that we got the Torah? Har Sinai, Shkoyach. What else is it called? Chorev, Har Chorev. Also, same letters. Cherev, Chorev, Bechira, Asher Bachar Banu. The whole sugya of Kabbalah Satorah revolves around our ability to recognize Hashem's presence, to be able to choose Hashem the same way He chose us, the Bechira of the Jewish people. And therefore, Moshe and Yeshua, when they're battling against Amalek, they're told, take Anoshim, take people of stature, tzaddikim, right? Chazal explained, who went out to fight against Amalek? Not just strong soldiers, people who were tzaddikim at the fight against Amalek. And of course, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, man tzaddik, as the Zohar says, who is a tzaddik? Noter bris. Noter, meaning one who guards. Yeah? Neturei karta. Neturei karta literally means the guardians of the city. Right? It's a term in the Medrash. So noter means to guard something. Noter bris, those who guard the bris. So a person who's connected to the bris, so to speak, has the sword to defeat Amalek. Has the sword to defeat Amalek. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos on Daf Hei that if a person says Kriyas Shema Alamita, we saw it on Thursday in the Dagam Achan Ephraim, Brachos Daf Hei, then it's like you have a double blade sword. You have a double-edged sword in your hand. Right? What's the importance of saying Kriya Shema Alamita? Because when a person goes to sleep, they surrender control of their body on a certain level. You're not awake. You're not mindful. You're not fully there. So I want to have a sword. In other words, I want to be able to protect myself from a Amalek. Because when I'm sleeping, I'm not in control of my body. Right? I might knock something off my nightstand. A person might become a Baal Keri in their sleep, Mikra. It's beyond their control. But that's the world of Amalek. The whole world of Amalek is Mikra, is happenstance, is not being in control. And therefore, when a person says Kriyas Shema Alamita, as he gives back his neshama to Hashem at the end of the day, you're saying, Hashem, even in my sleep, help me to make good choices. Even in my sleep, help me to be connected to you. Help me to be a noter bris, that even when I'm lying there fast asleep, but in my sleep I'm still mekusher to you, Hashem. I'm still aware of you, Hashem. That's a bris, that's a covenant, that's a promise. That even in my unconscious state, I know the right thing. I'm connected to Hashem. Ubekoach zeh holchu lilachim ba'amalek, lilachim betumash apagam abris, v'yedei kein netzcha. So again, the battle against the Amalek is a battle over Kedushas HaBris, over Bris Mila. It's a sword which we use to fight those who are mezalzel in Kedushas HaBris. Amalek themselves used their swords to chop off, v'yizanev, to chop off, makazanov, Rashi said, to chop off our Bris Mila, to make fun of Bris Mila. And therefore, part of the way that we defeat Amalek is again by strengthening Kedushas HaBris. Again, very appropriate topic for Shofavim. Umamshech Rabbeinu, next paragraph, and continues Rabbi Nachman, Shebekoach Sheichnia as Amalek betikun HaBris, Zachel Shefa Kafol. I told you a moment ago, the Gemara says that if you say Kriya Shema Lamit to protect you in your sleep, you have a double-edged sword. Why does the Gemara emphasize a double-edged sword? I mean, there are, you know, some knives, or, you know, samurai swords that have one sharp side, right? But most swords, we picture most swords as being, yeah, sharp on both sides. Why does the Gemara emphasize that Kriya Shema Lamita is a double-edged sword? So says Rabbi Yaakov Yoshechter, as Rabbi Nachman explains, Tikkun HaBris comes with a double reward. Zocha L'Shefa Kafu. What does Kafu mean? Double. Kefa. Ki hinei al yedei kiyam kol mitzvah zocha adam L'Shefa. Every time you do a mitzvah, you bring down some type of spiritual and divine influx. You bring down some type of hashpa, some type of shefa, some type of bracha is sent down into your life. Va'al yedei kol sur meira zochim l'shefa. And every time you avoid negativity, you make a choice to avoid doing something bad, you run away from evil, person is also zocha to shefa. However, is bris mila, is Kedushas HaBris more Sor Meira or Ase Tov? Right, so most of us think of it's just about, you know, defense, right? Note their bris, to guard the bris, not to misuse the bris. But the truth is, right? The truth is, we're thinking, so to speak, from a taiva, unmarried, you know, perspective. The proper, I guess, Torah perspective, the ideal is that Kedushas HaBris means using the Bris Mila to be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Pur Revu, which is the first of mitzvahs. It's the foundation of Torah and mitzvahs. It's mitzvah number one of the 613 in the Sefer Achinach. So is Kedushas HaBris Sur Meirah Ase Tov? Sure, there's a lot of Sur Meirah. There's a lot of don't misuse the Bris Mila. But there's also supposed to be an Ase Tov, a covenant that's being formed. I mentioned to some people on Sunday, there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Again, is Bris Mila more Sur Meira or is it more Ase Tov? The Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, in the Mora Nevuchim says that the reason, right, the Rambam's always trying to explain, so to speak, the reasons, the rationale behind Torah and Mitzvos. So the Rambam writes that the reason Hashem asked us to remove the Arla from the Makom Bris is because by doing so, it makes intimacy less pleasurable. So it's Sur Meira. It's trying to get away, so to speak, from the temptation, from the pleasure of sex, of intimacy. And the Ramban says no. The Ramban says Kedushas Bris is not so much about the removing of the Arla, right? But like they say out of Bris Mila, after they cut off the Arla, they remove the foreskin, right? And this, there's a mitzvah of Priya. They peel back, if you ever watched a bris up close, it's pretty intense. Then they peel back the skin, and the mohel says, what? Nizgala ha'atara. The crown has been revealed. Right? The top of the makomila is now uncovered from the arla. Right? Crown. Crown sounds like something very exalted. And it is. Bris mila is supposed to be a positive thing. We can't only think of anything that has to do with bris as, you know, all the things you shouldn't do. There's a very positive aspect of it, right? There's a covenant, there's a bond that's being formed between you and Hashem, a positive relationship that's being formed with Hashem. So says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, based on Rabbi Nachman, if you do a mitzvah asay, you get shefa in your life, you get brach in your life. If you avoid a los asay, you get brach in your life. When a person has shmiras habris, he gets a double portion. Why? Again, I'm interpreting based on that Ramban and the Rambam. When a person has Shmira Sabris, Achein al Yadei Shmira Sabris, Zoichim Leshefa Kafel. A person gets a double portion. Who got a double portion? You guys know anyone who got a double portion? Yosef got a double portion. Ephraim and Menashe. Keruvin v'Shimon, Yehuli. Yosef the Tzaddik. It's amazing. Such simple things that are right there in the storyline of the Torah. Amish secrets of Torah. Yosef got a double portion. Yosef became two Shvatim. Right? Because Yosef had Kedusha Sabris. He avoided Eishes Potiphar. He was able to make the right choice. And he did so not only by playing defense in the house of Potiphar. How did Yosef play offense in the house of Potiphar? What do we know about Yosef? True. What else, though? He always had Shem Hashem on his lips, exactly. Everything was Baruch Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem. Right? It's not me, it's all from Hashem. He had Kedusha Sapeh, so he had Kedusha Sabris. He was attached to Hashem in every move he made. All my success, he kept saying, I interpret the dreams, it's not me, it's God. Potiphar, you see success in your house, it's not me. It's Hashem. And therefore Yosef is called an Ish Matzliach, a successful person. Because he has both Sur Meirah and Aseh Tov. He goes on offense and he plays defense. Uvakoach ma shechnia samalik v'tikon abris zocha l'shefa kafel. So when a person has tikon abris, he has a double blade sword, a double edged sword. He has an understanding, a mature understanding of the positive and negative aspect that comes with shmiras habris and tikon habris, and elevating the bris. It's very dangerous. It's not the Jewish approach. And I know that you could point to certain mamari chazal and you could point to certain tzaddikim in history. Right? But I don't think I'm overstepping by saying it's not the Jewish approach, and the proof is the fact that Pru Ravu is the first mitzvah, again of the 613 according to the Sefer Achinuch. It's not the Jewish approach to live a celibate life. That's not a goal of ours. That's a Christian notion. That's not that ascetic notion of running away from the pleasures of this world. Right? Is not the highest level. Being able to be osek in physical pleasure, in a way that's spiritual, that's the goal. And that's why, yes, the first mitzvah is Pru Ravu. Yes, a baby, Jewish baby's life starts with what? With bris milah. But it's not only about, restraint, curbing that temptation, curbing the desire. It's about proactively forming a bond, a relationship with Hashem. A shefa kafel. U'kamosha anu roim, sheyosef atzadik zocha b'shmira sabris, lemerkeves ha-mishnah. Interesting. A lot of doubles by Yosef, no? He was the second in command in Mitzrayim. He wrote in a Merkeves HaMishnah. He's the Mishnah LeMelech. He's the second in command. But think of Mishnah also in the context of this past week's parsha. Lecha Mishnah, the double portion of man that we got on what day of the week? What day of the week did we get the double portion? We gathered it on Friday. Right? We ate it one on Friday, one on Shabbos. But we gathered a double portion when? On Friday. No, why Friday? Does Erev Shabbos have to do with Yosef HaTzadik? What do you want to say? So Shabbos is the double portion. It's the Lecha Mishnah. Yeah. What is the fact that we gathered that double portion on Friday after with Yosef? Friday is the sixth day of the week. In the seven lower spheros, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, who's our sixth guest on Purim, the sixth of the seventh Lushpizen, right? It's Yosef HaTzadik. So Yosef HaTzadik, his whole world is doubles. Lecha Mishnah, right? By the way, which creatures are known to be fruitful? The Yidgu Larov, Bekarav Haaretz. Yeah? Fish. Fish multiply. Yosef HaTzadik. Tzadikim are compared to fish. That's why we eat fish on Shabbos. It's Beginyan, etc., etc., etc. But the point is, Yosef's world is a world of what? Of Merkeves HaMishnah, a world of doubles, Ephraim and Menashe. And all of those doubles come from both the Sur Meirah and Aseh Tov aspect of what? Of Shmiras HaBris. A Malek is going from existing to not existing. Right? That's the goal. That's the trajectory of a Malek. A Malek exists. Our job is to turn them from 1 to 0. Yosef goes from 1 to 2. He doubles. Right? A Malek is going from existence to non-existence. Yosef goes from existence to double existence. Merkeves HaMishnah, Lecha Mishnah. The world of Melucha Kfula, a double kingdom, a double Malchus. V'al Yedei Kein Zachal, Lecha Mishnah, Torah Kvula, Shashuim Yom Yom, Mishnah Torah. It's being Merambes to a lot of things, but we get the basic idea. Okay, Yehuda David, let's hear. Yeah.
It talks about like being talking about all the like the closest era that like came out of that Dala.
Okay.
It says She'ein b'makom mitzvah, the ones that came out that weren't in the place of mitzvah, which is kind of being like medayi that like
right
that, like the lechatchila and like the, right. the thing that's actually supposed to be going on is b'makom mitzvah.
Right.
And just sometimes it happens outside of b'makom
mitzvah. Right.
Which I think point to the Ramban. And also there are three topics that the Lawrence Wagigo talks about not doing, like talking about in like a public setting. And they're the Maaseh Merkava, Maaseh Bereishis, and like Arayos.
Parshas Arayos, right? We don't want people to come up with weird heterim or right. weird, yeah.
And so I think that like both, they're all inyanim that are like incredibly kadosh, but are all inyanim that are very easy to like turn into tapikarsis.
Right.
And so like right. strong.
Very good. Very good. They're private in Yanim and they have to be guarded, and they're easily abused or misused or misunderstood. But that also reveals the depth of it. Okay? Good. So now we've established that Kedushas HaBris is something connected to the Battle of Amalek. Okay? So let's go weiter. Yosef, we're talking about Yosef. The Indian of Yosef is the one we always think of when we talk about Shmiras HaBris. We think about the Tzaddik. Who else is called Tzaddik? Not too many people are called tzaddik. Who else is called tzaddik? Noach ish tzaddik. Okay, the Mabel has a lot to do with Pagam HaBris, the immoral world of Noach that led to the Mabel. Yeah. Okay, Shimon HaTzaddik in Pirkei Avos. Interesting. Who was the Mishiyar Knesset Hagadola? Okay. Who else? Mordechai HaTzaddik. Right. We call Mordechai also a tzaddik. The Purim story. Ah, why does Mordechai get the title Tzaddik? So let's see. Hatzaddik va'amalek zel u'mazeh. Continuing in the middle paragraph on Kufnun Beis. If anyone needs a copy, we have more on the front, so please take one. Hatzaddik va'amalek zel u'mazeh. Harei b'zeh shenishmas hatzaddik v'nishmas amalek. Heimamish zel u'mazeh. So amalek and the tzaddik are, so to speak, opposites. Right? They oppose each other. Amalek and the Tzaddik are at war with each other. That's why Amalek fights the weaklings. Amalek doesn't want to take on the Tzaddik. If Amalek takes on the Tzaddik, they're going to lose. So Amalek plays very dirty. They target those schleppy Jews who are trailing behind. You know what the Medrash says? It says that the Jews who got kicked out of the Ananei HaKavod, right? Who didn't have that divine protection. Right? Amalek's a bunch of bullies. They pick on the weaklings. They don't want to take on the tzaddik. They'll lose to the tzaddik because they know the tzaddik is the one who can really take them down, no matter how powerful Amalek seems to be. One little Jew, Mordechai, but he's a tzaddik, took on Haman and the whole kingdom of Achashverosh, a kingdom that the Gemara says was an all-encompassing kingdom. Achashverosh ruled the whole civilized world at the time. But it takes one tzaddik to topple Amalek. Shenishmas tzaddik and nishmas Amalek are zel u'mazel. This one opposite that one. Again, that's the pasuk in Koheles. Ukeshem she'amalek mashpia tuma al klal Yisrael rachman al etzlan. So just like Amalek tries to bring a terrible tuma upon us, kamo kein mashpia hatzadik bechlal Yisrael ha'ara shel. What is that? Hashabbos kodesh. The tzadik tries to bring upon us Shabbos kodesh. Right? Interesting. Tumah versus Kedusha. What comes to mind when I say Kedusha? When do we experience Kedusha? Shabbos Kodesh. We call Shabbos Kodesh, right? We don't just call it Shabbos. We should call it Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh. Ah, so the Tzaddik brings us into a world called Shabbos. Again, it's also a world of doubles, Lecha Mishnah. And that's the antidote to the Tumah, to the impurity, which is Amalek. That's why the Gemara says that the time for a Talmud Chacham to be intimate with his wife is from Leil Shabbos to Leil Shabbos. It's from one Shabbos to the next. It's Dafka on Shabbos. It's a time of intimacy. Right? It's a time where we eat more. Right? You would think, if Shabbos is so holy, maybe it's Dafka time not to be engaged in sexual relations. Maybe it's the time not to eat so much. We should fast on Shabbos, it's so holy. No, that's not what Kedusha is by a Yid. By a Jew, Kedusha means engage in physicality in a holy way. So the Tzaddik brings us into a world called Shabbos. Tzaddikim are called Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Zohar is called Shabbos. Right? Shimon Bar Yochai is Gematria Shabbos. Shimon Bar Yochai is Gematria Shabbos, 702. The world of the Tzaddik is the world of Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos Shu'ava B'Ta'anugim. Shabbos is the world of Ahava B'Ta'anugim. It's experiencing Ava. Tshuva Me'ava. It's a time of Tshuva Me'ava. It's a time of awesome closeness to Hashem. What do we daven for every day? When we say Kabbalah Somach HaShemayim, we say Shema, we say what? V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. I want to love Hashem. You should love Hashem. With what? B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol mo'odecha. Love Hashem with your lev, with your nefesh, with your ma'od. So the B'nai Yisachar brings from the Rebbe of Zidichov. He says, if you take the ahava of all three of these, right? He says, ahava b'chol lev, ahava b'chol nefesh, ahava b'chol ma'od. Is gematria? Let's add it up. How much is ahava? Ahava is 13. So we have three ahavas. Ahava b'chol Lev, Ava, Bechol, Nefesh, Ava, Bechol, Mod. So we have Ava, Ava, Ava. So three Avas is 13 times 3 is 39. Ava, Bechol, Nefesh, Bechol, Lev, Bechol. So how much is Bechol? Bechol? Another 52, right? Times 3 is 156. So 156 plus 39 is? 195? Write it down. 156 plus 39 is? 195. Okay, so now you have to add Lev, Nefesh, and Ma'od. Ava b'chol Lev. So let's add 32 to 195 is how much? 195 plus 32? 227. Okay, now let's add Ava b'chol Nefesh. Let's add Nefesh. How much is Nefesh? Nefesh is 430. So what are we up to? 657. Okay, and now Ava b'chol Ma'od. We have to add Ma'od. Ma'od's another 45. What do you got? 702. Matzah Shabbos. So the Rebbe of Zidichov says, Shabbos is the time where we feel Ava in all three dimensions. Ava b'chol Lev, Ava b'chol Nekta, or maybe one or the other, or maybe both, I don't remember, says that the money I spend on Shabbos comes back to me. So I'm standing in the supermarket, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know, should I get this for Shabbos? Do I really need this? There's no cheshbon. It's free. For Shabbos, it's free. Rav Shimshon Pinkus used to take his, got the Rav Pinkus sefer. Rav Shimshon Pinkus used to take his kids. He wasn't a wealthy person. He would take his kids to the makolet on Erev Shabbos and say, if it's for Shabbos, it's free. You can take whatever you want. I mean, he paid for it, obviously. Right? But in terms of like, you know, daddy, can I buy this? Is this too expensive? On a Sunday, it's too expensive. On a Tuesday, it's too expensive. We can't afford it. On a Friday for Shabbos, pick out whatever candy you want. It's free. Hashem's going to give it back to us. So the Gemara says. Right? So Shabbos is an Ava b'ta'anugim. Shabbos is a time where it's tshuva me'ava. It's a time of intense love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah? A Malik tries to what? Tries to make us so depressed. A Malik is so makusher to the sadness and the depression. Why is it that so often you talk to people who are struggling with Shmiras HaBris, they feel so low, they feel so depressed, and they feel that their emunah is shattered, and they don't feel the Kedusha of Shabbos, they don't feel Shabbos at all. So many people, you know, and maybe you've experienced it in your own life if you struggle with this inyan, that when I'm not careful in Shmiras HaBris, Shabbos falls apart also. Why? What's the connection? Because Shabbos is the world of the tzaddik. Shabbos is the world of tshuva me'ava, ava b'tanugim. It's the world of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The world of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the world of Shmiras HaBris, as we know from many, many sources. So therefore, the tzaddik helps to what? To illuminate, to light up the Shabbos, to bring a person to the ava of Hashem, to the tanug of Torah, a tanug, the pleasure of Kedusha. Don't think of Kedusha only as restrictive and repressive. Think of Kedusha as pleasurable. When you beat the Yetzirah, it should put a big smile on your face. It shouldn't be, yeah, okay, so I didn't do something low and disgusting. No, it should give a person a simchas achayim. Tanug b'achnasa yitzar, the pleasure of defeating the Yitzhahara. That's a big accomplishment. It should fill a person with simcha. And with ava, you feel good about himself. Bottom paragraph on Kufnun Beis. Kishem Shah Malik Mamites Ha'adam Sheyufchas Hayadus Shabo. So just like a Malik tries to be Mema'it, it tries to take away and to lessen the Jewishness within a person, like we explained yesterday, Zachor Isa Sher Asa Licha Amalek. Look how Amalek is attacking the essential you. Again, I don't want to overemphasize Shmira Sabris, but it is our foundation. It is the first thing we ever did as Jewish babies in this world. It's our first mitzvah. It's pretty fundamental. It goes to the core of our existence. So therefore, Amalek tries to be mezalzel our essence. It hits at something, like we said yesterday, Sharashi, something that touches the roots of who we are. It tries to take away the Yisrael, the Jewishness within us. The name Yisrael. It tries to damage our Yisrael. Avodas HaTzadik Hulu Umasa, and the Tzadik helps to fight back. Shamar B'chelek HaYehudi Shabanu. That's why when you go to the Tzadik, you feel like so much more of a Jew. I feel like twice the Jew I was before I went to the Tzadik. The Tzadik gives you your authentic and essential Jewishness. Alecha Mishnah, a double portion, as Rabbi Nassim explained. Try to tap into the what? The Ruach HaKodesh of a Tzaddik. Ruach HaKodesh doesn't just mean that the Tzaddik knows things and he can predict the future. Right? Ruach HaKodesh means the spirit of Kedusha is found by the Tzaddik. Kedei Li'achi is about grab onto it. And that way when a Malek comes to you and tries to offer you things which are nothing other than mikra, happenstance, lack of belief in a God, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu ma'ayin, like we spoke about yesterday, where Malik offers you the Tumas Keri that comes with Pagam HaBris, you'll be able to say, I'm a person who's connected to a Ruach of Kedusha. Thanks, but no thanks. V'lo sagi b'zesha eno kovsho. And it would be impossible, a person who's Mekusher to Tzadikim, it's much easier to fight this Yetzahara. El shela'achem ikein tzarech lahachnis ba'atma od chelik Yisrael v'od chelik Yisrael. And a Jew has to continue to build off of that, to try to deepen his connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to try to not just rely on the tzaddik, but to allow the tzaddik to help yourself. I was talking to Rav Yeshua Gerzi Shlita in Eretz Yisrael yesterday, and he was telling me that in the two schools that emerged from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, there's a school of the tzaddik that takes care of you, and there's another school which is closer to the world of the Baal Shem Tov. That first school is more the world of the Magid of Mezrich, but the school of the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov's approach was not to take care of your problems for you. The Baal Shem Tov helped teach you how to take care of your problems. You hear the difference? You go to the tzaddik and say, tzaddik, save me. So some tzaddikim say, okay, I'll give you a bracha. I'll daven for you. I'll take care of you. You attach yourself to me, and through my subjective religious experience, I will take care of you. But there's another school that you come to the tzaddik and say, tzaddik, save me. And the tzaddik says, no, I'm not going to save you. I'm not going to do it for you. But I'm going to help you. We'll work together, and I'm going to teach you how to do it. So when I find the tzaddik, when I grab onto the tzaddik, I also have to do my part. Mordechai and Esther could have taken care of everything themselves, and on a certain level they did. On a certain level, they said, Klal Yisrael, I need your help. I need you to fast. I need you to daven. This needs to be a partnership. Why? You're the tzaddik. Why do you need me? Because the tzaddik helps you and guides you and makes you feel like more of a Jew, but then take it and own it and build on that and do something with it. Okay, let's do one more section for today. Hatzadik neged harasha. Top of page Kufnun Gimel. V'hu adin lehefech. And the opposite is also true. And this is, I never saw such a line in my life. He says something here, I never thought of it this way. It's so cool, so geschmack, so interesting, and it's so different. We talk about amuna and tzadikim. Talk about believing in the tzadik. V'yaminu b'Hashem. No? Moshe Avdo. We believe in tzaddikim. We trust in tzaddikim. We rely upon tzaddikim. Did you ever hear a sefer, you ever read about or think about the concept of amuna in the Rasha? Now, I'm not talking about amuna that the Rasha is not really Rasha, he's really a tzaddik in disguise. What does it mean to be mamin in the Rasha? Everything in the world, again, Chavi, write it down so you remember it. As we do it time and time again, you'll start to remember it. If you, I say the same thing every day. Yeah? The Pasuk in Kohelet says, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yudalet, Zeh l'uma zeh asa Elokim. In the 7th chapter of Kohelet, it says, this one was created opposite that one. which means whatever you find in Kedusha, you have to try to find the opposite in Tumah, and vice versa. Whatever you find in Tumah, you have to find what is its doppelganger in Kedusha. What is the opposite thing that looks exactly like it? The inverse of it. We have a Moshe Rabbeinu, they have a Bilam HaRasha. We have a Mordechai HaTzadik, they have a Haman HaRasha. We have the Marishon, they have a Nachash. We have Kedusha Sabris, manifest in Shabbos. They have Tumah, which is manifest in Mikra, in not Shabbos. Shabbos says Hashem runs the world. Hashem created the world. That's what the most basic declaration of what Shabbos is. There's a God who runs the world. A Malik is the world of Pagam Habris, of Mikra, happenstance. There's no God who runs the world. Things just happen. Some primordial soup came together, and here we are. A beautiful world. There's no God. There's no controller. So Chevra, look what he says. If there's a concept called Emunah in the Tzaddik, then there has to be a concept of Emunah in the Rasha. And look how he says it. I thought this was so interesting. V'hu adin lehepich. K'shem sheyesh inyan ha'emunah b'tzaddik. Just like we have a concept of believing and trusting in the Tzaddik, kein yesh emunah b'rasha l'das ar kamahu mazik. What does it mean believe in the Rasha? What does it mean believe in the Rasha? So I mentioned yesterday, when Chamberlain went to meet with Hitler, Yimach Shemo, and Hitler put on a smile, and Hitler made promises, right? And Chamberlain and many other world leaders fell for it until Hitler violated all of those commitments and tried to conquer the whole world, right? He lacked an emunah in the Rasha. What does it mean, emunah in the Rasha? To believe that the Rasha is going to try to destroy it. Because the Rasha will sometimes say, I'm not such a Rasha. I'm not so bad, right? Believing in the Rasha means, say to Yetzara, when he tries to be your friend, no, ani ma'amin, that you are a Rasha. No, come on, we're buddies. Not so bad. Okay, we get into a little trouble in Sarab. I'm not trying to destroy you. I'm just trying to help you relax a little and have a good time. No, you're not. You're trying to destroy me. You hate my guts. That's what it means to be ma'amin in the Rasha. You totally hate me. There's an amazing Maimer Chazal. They quoted in the Svarim as a Maimer Chazal. It's not really, there's a Gemara in the Darim that's similar. But the way that it's quoted in Sifrei Kadmonim, in early Musar works, in Sifrei Machshava, is Rishaim Maleim Charatos. Ever heard the expression before? Rishaim Maleim Charatos. There's a similar Lashon in the beginning of Maseches Nedarim. Rishaim Maleim Charatos. What does it mean? That the Rasha is Malei Charatos, is full of regrets. So, Chevra, who's the Rasha? Here's how it's explained by some tzaddikim. I think Rav Itzla Petterberger, the student of Rav Yisrael Salanter, explained it this way. The Rasha is full of regrets, right? So the simple version is that after a person does an Avera, sometimes you did an act of Rishus, and then you regret that you did it, right? But unfortunately, the Yitzhar tricks us again, and we do it again. Rav Itzla Petterberger, the student of Yisrael Salanter, said it's much worse than that. It's much worse than that. You know what it means, the Rishaim Maleim Charatos? Who's the Rasha? Not the person who did the Avera. Who's the real Rasha? The Yitzhar is the Rasha. And the Rasha is full of regret. What does that mean? Yitzhar is full of regret? So you could say, yes, because really he's a Malach of Hashem, so he feels bad that he has to trick us. That's one way to learn it. What's Rishaim Maleim Charatos? One of the ways the Yitzhara expresses his hatred for you is Maleim Charatos. You know how much the Yitzhara hates you? Let me tell you. Says of Itzel Petterberger, so the student of Rabbi Saul Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, you know how much the Yitzhara hates you? He hates you so much that he doesn't even let you enjoy the Averas that you do. A person does an Avera, and immediately, I feel bad, I went against Hashem. No, it's your Yetzirah. He hates your guts so much that he doesn't even want you. He tricks you. He says, oh, come, we're going to do this thing. It's going to be very enjoyable. And then when a person does the Avera, they feel like a lowlife after. And the Yetzirah says, oh, you're such a bum. Yetzirah is telling you you're a bum because he doesn't even want you to get the pleasure from the Avera. It's bad enough you talked me into going to hell, so at least let me enjoy it for a couple of minutes. Right? Why do I have to feel so guilty after I do Averas? And the answer is because the Yetzirah hates you. He's a Rasha. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, the same way you have to believe that the tzaddik loves you at unconditionally, the Yetzirah hates you unconditionally. And don't be fooled by him. He wants to destroy you. Have a muna that the Rasha ladas ad kama hu mazik. Believe that he's that bad. A malik's not so. I have to kill women and children of a malik? That's a very hard mitzvah in the Torah. Believe that a malik is so bad that yes, that a malik, the entire tribe has to be wiped out. The entire people of a malik has to be wiped out. That's a hard mitzvah. Maybe the hardest mitzvah of the Torah for us as civilized, you know, 21st century human beings to wrap our head around. I have to kill a malik. I don't think I could do that. Kill a maliki baby. It sounds terrifying. How would I find the strength to do that? And why are they so bad? Emunah in the Rasha. Believe that they're so bad. Even if you don't see it, believe that they're so bad. About the tzaddik, it says in the Zohar, Man p'nei ha'adon do rashbi. The pasuk says in Chumash that on the Shlosh Regalim, you have to come to present yourself lifnei adon Hashem. Before your master Hashem, you come before Hashem, you come to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Zohar, a very cryptic statement, Man p'nei ha'adon, who is, so to speak, the face of the master? Who's Hashem's face? And says the Zohar, Do Rashbi. This is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is the face of Hashem. Have an encounter with God means see the tzaddik. Have a face-to-face encounter with the tzaddik. That's the face of Hashem. What does that mean? It sounds like a vodazara. Sha'ur p'nei adon Hashem yisbarach nishpa al yidei tzaddik. But if you want to look Hashem in the eyes, so to speak, yes, you look up during Kedusha, but also be connected to tzaddikim. Be connected to tzaddikim. You see in the face of the tzaddik, you see the radiance of Hashem. You look at the picture of a cook, you don't see the face of Hashem. Regular people don't look like that. And this is just a photocopy, this is a picture. The Shem Yishmuel, the Shem Lezalechavar, no? Or Gedalia Shor, the tzaddikim. You look at their face, it's a different face. It's the Pnei Adon Hashem, it's the radiance of Hashem. And again, you go to a tzaddik, you see a real tzaddik. You see the face of a tzaddik, it changes you. They don't have to even say anything. Right? You don't have to understand. The person says, you know, I could go to this Rebbe's Tish, but like the whole thing's in Yiddish, and I don't really know the Nigunim, so what's the point? Because you'll have a face-to-face encounter with the tzaddik, that's the point. And you'll walk out a different person if he's a real tzaddik. That the Ur Pnei Adon Hashem is radiating, is shining on the face of the tzaddik. Kamosha Amru B'Medrash, like the Medrash Tanchuma says, I skipped the line. Kamo Kein Lehefech Huetzel HaRasha. The opposite is true by a Rasha. What does the Gemara say in Maseches Megillah? It's Asur Listakel B'Dumos Adam Rasha. You're not allowed to look at the face of a Rasha. Okay, you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi if it's true when it comes to pictures or it's only actually seeing the person, you know, live. Right? But you're not allowed, the Gemara says, it's usher to look in the face of a Rasha. Why? What's so bad? What would be so bad? What would be so bad if I looked at a Rasha? Let's say I didn't listen to anything he ever said. I just saw him. What's so bad about seeing someone? Because the eyes are the window to the soul. So the same way that when I see a tzaddik, it brings a muna into me. It brings Kedushin to me. When I see a Rasha, it's damaging. As long as a Malik exists in the world, it's like a garment that covers over the face. A Malik blocks out the face of Hashem. When a Malik is destroyed, your master, your teacher, your Lord, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will no longer be yikanef, will no longer be covered over. Shebe'emes ha'olam kulo malei b'ashkacha pratis. Because the world is filled with what? What's the opposite of mikra, of happenstance, of chance, of randomness? Ashkacha pratis, precision. And Hashem running the world. Hashem runs the world with awesome precision. Maniges ha'olam. Ve'ein tenua kala ba'olam l'lo Hashem yisbach. There's no move you make in this world without Hashem. Aval malik master ha'davar l'gamri me'adam. But a malik wants you to believe everything is mikra, everything is happenstance, everything is keri, everything is that world of tuma, right? Shu master asamuna kedoishu mathas pegama bris, and that's pegama bris. Again, not just misusing your bris milah, but undermining the promise that you made to Hashem and Hashem made to you to look out for each other. And if you think Hashem is not running the world, that's pegama bris. If you think Hashem is not involved in the details of your life, that's called Pagam HaBris. It has nothing to do with sexually immoral behavior. It also has to do with that. But if you think, right, that I didn't get the job, or I got the flat tire, or whatever, you know, happened right or wrong, what happened right was my efforts, koichi v'yotzim yadi, it was my strength, it was my efforts, and what happened wrong was just bad luck, it was random, that's called pegam habris. But when I attach myself to the tzaddik, I enter into a world of ruach hakodesh, a ruach shel kedusha, a she'ifa shel kedusha, shemavake she'adam lios davuk b'kirvas alokim litov, to want to cling to Hashem who is the source of good, lios davuk b'Hashem yisbarach, l'avodas Hashem yisbarach, to cling to Hashem, to serve Hashem, and in this way to suppress the yitzahara, l'mali es tikun ha'olamos, she'tzarach lios al yado, in order to rectify the world. In order to fix and to build and to solidify Hashem's presence in the world. Yes, Yosef Zohar. That's a good name for today's shir. Yosef Zohar. Rishon Baruch Hai. Yosef Tzadik.
Are we going by the Tanya's definition of Russia, or are we going by another definition?
I would use it very generally today, but we could think about it in terms of the more precise understanding of Tzadik in Russia.
Because when it comes to the Tanya's definition,
Correct. Listen, our job, like the Tanya says in Perech of Zion, I think, is to be warriors, is to fight. Yisrael, our name Yisrael means Kisarisa. We fought against something that seems much bigger than us. Yaakov Yinu fought a malach. And he got injured where? He got injured in the thigh. The Gira Nasha. Right between the legs. He got injured in the Makomila. Yosef HaTzadik, he lost some seed, the Gemara says, when he nearly sinned with Eishes Potiphar. You don't have to be perfect in this Indian. It's kamat impossible for a person to be perfect. For a person to say, I'm never gonna be nichshol in any of these things. Again, I'm not giving us any haterim. But people stumble in these things. There's a metzias of the world. Right? There's metzias of the world that people struggle with sexual temptation and desire. Rabbi Nachman calls it the harshest and most difficult things to overcome. But at the same time, the goal is to be a warrior, to be a fighter, to pick up your sword and to go out to battle, right? And not to feel that no, I can't. Whatever. This is just the way it is. That is pegam bris. Thinking that I can't win the battle is pegam bris. Right? Knowing that Hashem can help me. And Hashem is involved in my life, and it's not mikra, it's not, you know, whatever, this is just the way I am, and this is normal, right? A Jew has to try to strive to be more than normal. Yeah?
First of all, with regard to Amun of Russia, I think that I've heard in the past that like Rabbein Ovin used to be down the Kasbos, that what there was the bad thing you thought they did was really good or evil, that by the Tzadik, you didn't do when they were, you should assume by the next day that they'd
right.
Done Shiva. By Russia, if you see them doing something,